Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, welcome everybody. Second hour today of Freedom Friday. Freedom Friday is the day on Political Coffee where I extend to you the freedom to call and talk about anything political that's on your mind. Maybe you got something you just want to get off your chest. This is your opportunity. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to jeff@1220.am. And before I go to Tim, let me just throw out a couple of things to you. There's an interesting piece that I saw over the break about, from Todd Starnes. You know, you've seen him on Fox and so forth. About Joe Biden, because I know that Freddie brought this up in his comments earlier in the first hour. Taxpayers are funding international abortions, and he blames woke evangelical Christians. Specifically, he blames the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and liberal Catholics. He writes, I don't blame Biden. I don't blame Never Trump Republicans. I blame woke evangelical Christians. They knew what would happen if the Democrats gained power, but the Never Trump evangelicals were so triggered by the former president's Twitter feed, they made a deal with the devil. The Orange Man bad crowd was willing to sacrifice the lives of unborn babies so long as it meant the political destruction of Donald Trump. Mission accomplished. On Sunday, he writes, many of those woke evangelicals will ask God on bended knees to bless our nation. They ought to be asking God, he writes, for his mercy and forgiveness. Well said, Todd Starnes. You know why? My mother has some dear friends, and I know these people. They're wonderful people. They love God. They're Seventh-day Adventist, as my mother is. And they hated Trump. And they voted against him. They're very much pro-life. And no matter what, my mother could not convince them that their vote, if Joe Biden won, would lead to more abortions. It didn't matter to them. Donald Trump was an ungodly man to them. And they were going to vote to get rid of him. Maybe Todd Starnes is right. I don't know. There's more to talk about. It's Freedom Friday, 503-589-1220. I've got four lines open. You can shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am or jeff@kslm.news. And I'll do my best to read it on the air. And I got some of them that are stacking up, so I got to get to them. But first, I promised I'd get to Tim. Tim, good morning. What's on your mind today?
This all started when I responded to an email I got from the Republican Party about they were excited about the Democrats being nervous about something that happened. Okay, here I go.
Okay.
I want to know how I can change Republican Party. Republican, is there a difference between the Republican Party that doesn't have a plan and what the Democrats are doing? I remember when my father was voting, the big issue was one vote made a difference. Now, it doesn't matter whether you participate or not because there's no difference between the parties. When people talk about Trump losing to Biden, people who didn't like Trump, their position was justified by him because he acted like a bully. Being against something is not a plan.
You're right. You know, it is not.
Hispanics, I hear that all the time about how they're going to be Democratic. Well, without a plan, what do you expect them to do? I know Hispanics right. that are just as Republican as anybody else.
Well, and let's stop for a moment because you're right. You have to have a plan. Again, I go back to athletics. You rarely score points on defense. You score points by being on offense. So you have to have an offensive plan. If Republicans want to win more of the hearts and minds of minority communities, they have to have a plan. Now, there are groups, Republican groups, Tim, that do specifically reach out to those minority groups. I will tell you this. The best plan is a strong economy. I did that Trump boat parade on the Willamette River up in Portland. And the guy that I was, whose boat I was riding in, has a business. He is an immigrant from Jordan, the country Jordan. And with him was a Canadian guy. These guys were pro-Trump. And they were pro-Trump because of freedom and because they had economic freedom to make money in their businesses. When you're talking about Hispanic people and others that come to America and start their own business and are doing well, they are going to be more Republican than they are Democrat. We need to continue to put that message out there. The strongest plan you can have is a great economy. Trump knew that. And unfortunately, getting back to what Freddie said, we're about to see that economy go in a very different direction. And it worries me personally. I'm going to tell you, Tim, as a farmer, it worries me. But anyway, continue.
Hispanic, one last time. Do they support immigration, controlling immigration? Because I'm not convinced that the Hispanics are for an open border. I think the citizens are exactly the same, the ones I've talked to.
I share that view because I've had the same experience in talking with Hispanics who've come here legally. They do not like the idea that a whole lot of folks who've come across the border, and more than just Hispanics too, by the way, are going to get amnesty. And then they're going to get citizenship. They don't like it because they violated our laws and they didn't have to work for it hard like those folks did. Tim, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Before I go back to Freddie, there's also, well, let me read a couple of emails here. Alex Scalartos, as you know, is joining the Freedom Foundation. You know, he was the hero, one of the heroes of that train that attacked the three Americans that stopped that jihadi attack on the train in Paris, on the way to Paris. He's joining the Freedom Foundation. You know, we often have the Freedom Foundation on here. And it's he's joining. He was a very good fundraiser, and he's joining them in that national capacity as they expand across the country, and they are expanding across the country. Let's go to Freddie. Freddie, you're up again.
Yeah, you know, what doesn't people want? We had a plan. Trump had a plan. It was America First. And what don't people understand about America First? Everything he did was about America First. That was the plan.
Well, so what's the results of the plan?
We had energy independence. We had people with our NATO paying their fair share on that response. He did the Space Force. He did economic growth in every area. He did the Keystone Pipeline. He did everything, putting America first. That was the plan.
And it worked. I think it worked fantastically. And it wasn't just the economy, was it? It was more than the economy.
Look at everything that he did. Was America first? That was the plan. Did you forget that?
Well, so here's the problem. Yeah, Trump had the plan of America first, but the rest of the Republican Party establishment didn't. That's
the
problem.
The Republican Party's got their head up the rear end. They always have had. Why does everybody keep going back to the Republican Party? Republican Party is nothing. They're a bunch of rhinos.
Well, not entirely. It kind of depends on the state, to be honest with you. Some Republican parties are, you know, pretty darn conservative, and others are not. And you get, you know, it sort of gets me back, Freddie, to what the Oregon House Republicans did and the unforced error, as Bill Currier talked about in his conversation with both Stacey Ann and me. Yeah, they've unwittingly played right into the hands of the Democrat narrative. And that Democrat narrative, Freddie, I'm telling you, not long from now is going to be used to limit our speech. I mean, they're already calling us terrorists. They are. Us Trump supporters. You go show up at a Trump rally, you're a terrorist. That's what some Democrat leaders are pushing. And don't you find it interesting? I mean, I find it interesting. Nancy Pelosi comes out and says that the enemy is within the Congress. No, I didn't hear Kate Brown or Tina Kotek or Peter Courtney or the Democrat representatives and senators, their caucuses coming out against that. No, Democrats don't do that. But Republicans do. Why is that, Freddie? Do you have a reason why?
Well, it's because they're scared. The Republicans, there's not a spine amongst them. They're just not. You know, they're very weak, always have been. We've had a few bright spots, you know, Ronald Reagan. And then we get Trump, and Trump turns this country where it needs to be, America first and only America. That's the plan. But look what's going on now. Biden is killing babies all around the world. And we're a Christian nation. You just articulated something very important. The Christians, they didn't like the personality. That's what they were voting against, the personality. They weren't thinking about the policies. And that's what's so wrong. I mean, it's so frustrating. And when I hear some of your callers coming in and talking about, well, we need a plan. Well, damn it, we had a plan, the best plan ever. And you guys let it go because of a personality, because of Twitter, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and the scary thing about that, Freddie, is
it time you turn around?
Well, it tells you where this country is. And what we as conservatives and people who believe in liberty and freedom have to understand that. And we have to have our own strategy individually to push back on the new strategy coming from a new administration. And it ain't good for freedom.
Jim.
720. Back in a moment. Thanks, Freddie. Gotta go.
Genocide.
Haiti believers have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of it.
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Before we go back to the phones, to Rebecca. And Rebecca, you need to move to either a different phone line or a different place, because last time you were on, you were pretty broken up. Dale sent me an email about this media blackout. Folks, did you know we had an Antifa riot in Portland at the ICE facility? Yeah, they threw mortars and explosives at the federal police officers. like 60 Antifa terrorists burned American flags and threw projectiles and mortar explosives at the federal cops. One person was arrested. Now, that's a federal arrest. They're not going to get released immediately without bail, because that's not how we do it. Then he writes a follow-up, says, the political class is allowing Antifa to become ISIS. Yeah, terrorists. Now, what's the difference between us standing out in front of the Oregon Capitol demanding that if you can be in the Marion County Courthouse, we ought to be able to go into, in a regulated manner, the Oregon State Capitol during the legislative session? Well, the difference is we're not engaging in that kind of activity. Yes, sadly, a bunch of people screwed up during that special session and got inside the building. Yes, Mike walked out the door and didn't shut it immediately behind him, and a guy opened it up, and that created the problem. Well, it is what it is. But 99.99% of the rallies that we have had at the Capitol, including the worship rallies that I helped lead, we started in May, folks, 99.99% of them have been peaceful. That's not the case with over 120 consecutive nights of violent protests, many of them being classified by Portland police as riots. Not all, but they were all violent. There's a difference between peacefully protesting, and there's a difference between being a terrorist. Now, the Democrat Party has unleashed this, folks. Now, how do I know that? I don't have evidence of it. I just know it. We'll see how much of it ultimately gets exposed. I hope it does. It needs to be. All right. Let me go to another caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say on Freedom Friday? Hey, good morning. Who are you?
Hi. I don't know if you're talking. Are you talking to me?
I am, dear. Go for it.
Hi, on your mind this on Freedom is Dean. And I just kind of wanted to backtrack just a little bit. And I don't, if it's not appropriate, you can let me know. But I think there may be another issue coming into play with all the people not voting against abortion. And that is, I think that there are a lot of women that have a lot of guilt issues because of the whole thing, either for themselves or for other people in their families. And I think all of that also kind of comes into play when the Republicans have that issue with not really being strong in the area of anti-abortion, which is totally biblical and certainly according to what my standards would be. But it's really a difficult situation. If you've ever known anybody or been around people that have dealt with that, it's really hard.
It is, and I understand that. I'll just be honest with you, folks. To the best of my knowledge, I have never been a party to abortion. But in my prior life, I dated a lot of women, had relationships with women, and most of them had abortions.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, I used to be pro-choice. And what turned my heart on the issue was because of those relationships I had with women, I just experienced the pain in their soul.
Mm-hmm.
As every one of them regretted having had an abortion.
Right.
And, you know, that really got me on the journey to looking at not just the rhetoric that, you know, it's a woman's choice to do what she wants, blah, blah, blah. I began then to understand, and in the research, understand that often a baby has a beating heart before a woman even knows she's pregnant.
Right.
And that's, you know, and to me, I got to tell you that that really began to move me to the point where I am today, that life begins at conception.
Sure.
And then understanding it, you know, at a deeper level from the biblical perspective, that God knows us in our mother's womb, and that a book is written for us even before we're conceived. You know, that, again, that just reinforces my view that, that this is a, it's a powerful issue that has to be dealt with in this country. And hearts have to be changed. That's how my heart was changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it isn't, believe me, I know plenty of other people in my own family that have been affected by abortion because they participated in it. And it's an ugly thing.
It is.
But I understand your point about people vote sometimes that way.
Right, yeah. And I just, it's a really hard issue to know how to approach with sensitivity and care for the people and yet still have the standards that God wants us to have as far as Scripture is concerned. And that is so difficult.
Well, that's where grace and forgiveness comes in, right?
Of course.
You know, yeah. if you don't have grace and forgiveness, you're going to be a miserable person. You are, because we're human beings. We screw up. We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing to do, at least for me, is to go ask forgiveness when I've blown it, when I've really made a mistake. And sometimes I do that on this show. And you will hear me from time to time say, look, folks, I'm sorry I got it wrong. Forgive me for that. I do, because that's the right thing. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks
back in a moment.
You're
more
welcome.
Of your phone calls
thanks
on Freedom Friday.
All you do, I really appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you, dear.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. I want to thank Eric Azer and Righteous Renovations for being another one of our great sponsors of both this radio show and KSLM Radio. You know, the wonderful thing about advertisers are is they see value in their spending their hard-earned money getting the word out about who they are and what they can do that benefits your life. And nothing is more true about that than when you listen to an ad and you're interested, or your interest, you know, you have your mind, you want to go to the next level. Okay. So when we say Righteous Renovations, because Eric Azer is a man of faith and he tries very hard to live it in his business, well, that piques people's interest. So what's the next step? Well, the next step would be you investigate a little bit more. You go to RighteousRenovations.com and check it out. And check out the testimonials and the before and after pictures of a lot of their projects. That ought to give you confidence that you're going to do business with someone who is going to do it right and is going to be fair and honest and give you value for your money. That's who Righteous Renovations is. So check them out. Go to RighteousRenovations.com. Stacey Ann, who's up next in a few minutes with Good Morning Salem, reminded me that on her show today, since we're talking pro-life issues, she'll have Dr. Pat Castle on, who's a national pro-life leader, and specifically about how to defend life and be persuadable in a sensitive way. And it goes right back to what our last caller was just talking about. Being sensitive to not just this issue. You know, when you're talking, when you're trying to persuade someone, you want them to get to that conclusion on their own, but you also want to be effective at helping them get there. So you want to be sensitive to who they are, their personality. I mean, there's an old thing in the, an old saw in the business of what we do in public speaking, and it's simply that know your audience. Know your audience. We'll get to Rebecca here in a moment, but this is so important. So when you are trying to persuade someone, know who they are, kind of know how to approach them, because it's usually going to be someone that you know that's in your circle of influence. Be sensitive to that. By the way, Stacey Ann also reminds me, today is the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and there's a virtual link to it on KSLM Radio on our Facebook page, okay? That's going to happen today in D.C. To Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning. You're back.
I was calling back because I think his name was Freddie, and he was talking about Republicans having no spine. And it made me think back to when we first started Oregon Citizens Lobby. And the goal of Oregon Citizens Lobby, for those who don't know, was to get average citizens to read the bills and show up at the Capitol. And then by the grace of those who organized Oregon Citizens Lobby, we had a room rented for us, and anybody could come to the room and talk with other people about the bills they had read. And then we would go lobbying. And it was such a privilege to be in that. But when we first started it, a lot of the Republican legislators came to the room and said, "We're so glad to see you here. Nobody ever comes and supports us. We're so glad to see you here." And they came back week after week after week and let us know what their concerns were and worked with us. And it was such an amazing experience to be in that. And I am so distressed by the fact that we have a legislature now that has a fence around the Capitol, because citizens cannot come into the Capitol to be part of the process at this point. And I want to bring it back to marriage and abortion, because as I was sitting and talking with people in Oregon Citizens Lobby, I talked with a lot of people who consider themselves conservative, who in general had very little idea that that we should have marriage defined in government. They wanted it only defined in the church. And I think that might possibly be a libertarian view. But as a Republican, I feel strongly that it needs to be defined in the law also.
It has to be now, because I frankly share the libertarian view.
Okay. You know,
it was always a societal thing, marriage. But now we're beyond that in a nation of laws. Now we have all of these laws having to do with estates and property transfer and all, and it gets more and more and more every year with new laws that get passed, Rebecca. And so based on that, you kind of have to have marriage defined in law now because of these other circumstances. But I don't like it. I think it ought to be in the church.
Republicans are the ones that first defined it in law in America in about 1860. It was part of the second party platform to define it as one man and one woman. And they were fighting a number of things. They were fighting for to define women and men as equal in the law so that women could have suffrage. And also they were trying to fight polygamy. So it actually was part of the Republican platform right from the beginning. And it's vital, I believe, to have it defined in the law as the way that it was defined, one man, one woman, because otherwise you don't have a protective umbrella for the child to be born into. If marriage
that is true.
Easily dissolved in the law, then it leads the society into making relationships that don't last.
Well, and that's exactly what we've done, sadly. Thanks, Rebecca. I got to let you go because I need to move on. It's a good point. It's from our perspective anyway. It's hard to argue against it. Peter, I have a couple of Peters. One of them hates my guts. I don't ever read his emails. But a good Peter says this: CIA talk 2005, Bill Gates. His history, philosophy, objectives, and reasoning concern me. I understand why I may appear to be falsely judging others by my views. I do want to judge righteous judgment, so I seek your counsel and replies. I had personal experience with Gates in my working days about public education. Subsequent events in the realm of immunization is troubling to me. And then he goes on to list these other things that Bill Gates has been involved in. And, you know, the supposed Bill Gates video, which I'm not entirely sure is a real video, talking about eliminating conservatives through, religious fundamental behavior. Yes, there has been talk of that. We are still protected under the Constitution of this country against that type of thinking. Notice I said we are still protected. Hopefully that's not going to occur to change. But if they pack the Supreme Court, well, at some point, it may. Jimmy writes me an email about a wolf in sheep's clothing. You might have seen this analogy on Gab. Turns out Robin Hood was actually the sheriff. yeah. And then I've got a very interesting email from a person in the school district around the area. And I got to be careful how I read this. So I'll get to that in a moment. I want to go back to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. It is Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today. Let's go back to Art. Art, you're up again, second time.
Hey, Jeff. I agree with Freddie that Trump developed a plan once he was elected, and with his intelligence and the collecting of the information, he saw where power had corrupted and absolute power corrupted absolutely. And so being a business person like Trump was and not a member of the swamp, as he saw things that needed to be changed, he did it. But Trump didn't even realize how bad it was until he started getting the information, the inside information, on what was going on. The problem in our country, Jeff, is that the corruption and is never, they're not held accountable for it, so they continue to do the inappropriate things that hurt our country. And then, of course, we know what happened during the election. Everything was at stake for these people, including Mitch McConnell. And so they had to get rid of him because everything that they had was going to be lost because Trump was exposing it. So
that's the swamp, my friend, and you are right on. Got to go at 7:48. Thanks, Art. Have a good weekend.
Bye, yeah.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. I want to thank also ProBioscience for making some incredibly good products that I use. And they work for me. That, you know, you hear me rave about the pain stick. In fact, I've even gotten some advice from some of you that are listeners that have bought the pain stick on how to use it even better. And one of the ways is to warm it up a little bit. Well, that's kind of an interesting idea. I haven't done that yet, but it doesn't mean that I won't. The bottom line is that it is a line of products, whether it's the tincture that I take some nights, if I think I'm probably not going to sleep well, like maybe I drank coffee a little bit later in the day than I should have. For me, that doesn't work very well. Then I take a little bit of CBD under the tongue, and it just helps me sleep better. Or it's the pain stick, which helps me deal with my underlying issues of some of the injuries that I've done to myself because I wasn't very smart about certain things when I was younger. I'm probably not alone with that. You're probably thinking that way too. And at any rate, the pain stick really does help. And CBD from ProBioscience is CBD you can trust because they're, first of all, Salem-based company. Secondly, they only use Oregon-grown CBD, which I can tell you as a former hemp grower, I'm not growing it now, but I did for a couple of years. I can tell you, Oregon's regulations on hemp growing and CBD are the strongest in the nation, the strictest. You know what you're getting. And you, so the fact that you're doing business with a local company that you can talk to and you can buy at a really good price and get discounts, like if you go online to pro-bioscience.com, you can buy products online. And if you use the discount code New Year, you get 15% off. Plus, they have a rewards loyalty program. If you recommend and bring in other customers, you can save even more money. More importantly, you can help other people get the benefit that you have gotten from using CBD from ProBioscience. And even if you're in a sensitive position, you get drug tested, they have CBD products that will not show up on a drug test. So you can get all of that and learn all about it by going to pro-bioscience.com, or you can call Jen over there and she'll be happy to walk you through the process. Again, it's pro-bioscience.com. So kudos to Oregon City Mayor Stan Pulliam, a guy I know, who said, and this is a national story on Fox Channel, Fox News, from yesterday. Oregon mayor on Portland rioting. This is what defund police movement looks like. Then they quote, the subheadline is, a California mayor says fewer police officers is the wrong direction to take. Amen. So we just had this Antifa riot, you know, last night down at the ICE detention facility in Portland. Now, Portland assisted the federal officers in this. They didn't use any CS gas or that kind of thing, which is a big no-no, right? Even though Ted Wheeler with Sam Adams can use pepper spray, which kind of has the effect of CS gas, doesn't it? Isn't that kind of like this elitist thing, right? No pepper spray for thee, but only for me. It's just, anyway, I'm glad Stan Pulliam is standing up. The idea that we, folks, we need more cops, not less cops. You look at how Oregon's population has grown. You look, especially the state police. As more and more people move to the state of Oregon, we're not dramatically increasing the numbers of road troopers out there. And you know what? When you're calling 911 to report a drunk driver or somebody high on meth, It's out crashing in cars in front of you. I actually did this once. You want somebody to be able to respond quickly. Because you don't want somebody to get hurt, either you or anybody else. And if you're defunding the police, of all things, then how do you expect somebody to show up when you call 911? How do you expect the murder rate not to double like it has in Portland? The shootings from guns. Well, they defunded, did away with the gun violence reduction team, which is mostly gang affiliated. And that's what happens. Yeah, this is exactly right. Kudos to Stan Pulliam for saying that. Now, Robin Hood, by the way, put out this. they have a tweet. The author of this is Chris Widener. It's up on thelibertydaily.com. Anyway, he just says the Robin Hood CEO tries to cover his hiney. Not just Robin Hood. In a letter to their account holders. And he starts off with an image of a tweet that they put out 5 years ago. And it just says, let the people trade. Except when apparently the White House and a big hedge fund calls and says, we're losing billions. Stop it. So they put out this letter. And here's the interpretation of the letter. And this is hilarious. It's been a tough day, the letter said. And then the writer says, boy, I bet it was. But what about all them small investors playing well within the rules who you just screwed? Quote from the letter, we temporarily limited buying for certain securities this morning, unquote. The narrative is because, well, we had overlords to protect. Hope you're okay with that. And then, quote from the letter, starting tomorrow, we plan to allow limited buys on these securities. We'll continue to monitor the situation and may make adjustments as needed, unquote. The interpretation is play nice, kids, and give some of that money back to the rich kids, and we'll let you play again. From the letter, to be clear, this decision was not made on the direction of any market maker we route to or other market participants, unquote. Uh-huh. Sure. We stand in support of you, our customers, they wrote. The narrative is, except when we don't. I hope that somebody, you know, Dave Portnoy is right about this. This has got to be investigated by the SEC. And this whistleblower who says he works for Robin Hood, who put this piece up on Reddit, talking about how Sequoia Capital and the White House leaned on him to stop trading on GME, GameStop, yesterday. Well, the rich kids get one set of rules and the rest of us don't. Nobody likes that. That's why we have the law. But only if it applies to everybody equally. And what we've been learning a lot over the last year is that justice is not blind. It's for the elites. I don't like it, and I think somebody ought to go to jail. Friends, thanks for joining us today. We'll be back Monday. See you all, I hope, on Sunday. Casey ends up next. Good morning, Taylor. So